Challenge Cyber Defense.
The cyber threat analyses you need to know about. Cyber Decryption. It's now.
All right, so today we're diving deep into a group called RipperSec. And let me tell you, these guys are really something. We're going off a research paper from the Cyber Intelligence Bureau. They're part of the Orange Cyber Defense Epidemiology Laboratory. You know, these guys, they don't mess around. They combine open source and human intelligence to really get a complete picture of cyber threats. And they even, get this, factor in geopolitics and emotional manipulation. Wild stuff.
Absolutely. It's fascinating, isn't it? What really struck me about RipperSec is how they blend hacktivism with this very clear ideological agenda.
So we're not talking about some, you know, bored teenagers in a basement.
No, not at all. They're pro-Palestinian, pro-Muslim, very focused.
Okay, so there's a purpose here. It's not just random chaos.
Exactly. And they're not limiting themselves to one region either. They're targeting multiple countries, various sectors.
So tell me, like, who are RipperSec? Where do they come from?
Well, that's the thing. It's kind of a mystery.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We think they emerged around June 2023, but even that's not certain.
So relatively new on the scene, but already making a name for themselves.
Oh, absolutely. And one of the reasons they're so hard to track is their structure. It's decentralized.
So harder to pin down.
Exactly. They operate in the shadows using secure messaging, things like Telegram, and they utilize platforms on the deep web and the dark net.
Wait, deep web and dark net. Those are different, right?
You got it.
Okay, so break it down for me. What are we talking about?
Think of the internet like an iceberg.
Okay, I'm with you.
The part you see every day, that's the surface web. But the deep web, that's the stuff below the surface. Private databases, subscription services, that kind of thing. And the dark net. Even deeper, you need special software to access it.
And that's where a lot of illegal stuff happens, right?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Okay, so RipperSec operating in the dark depths of the internet.
Yeah.
That makes them pretty tough to find, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And on top of that, they use a whole range of tools and techniques. Two of the key ones that we found are Zeus API PRO and Mega Medusa.
Those names, man. It sounds like some sci-fi weapon or something.
Right.
So what are they actually used for?
So Zeus API PRO is all about stealth. It gets them past anti-DDoS protections.
DDoS?
Yeah, DDoS, distributed denial of service. Basically, it overwhelms a website with traffic, causes it to crash. Zeus API PRO helps them sneak past any defenses that are set up.
Sneaky. So what about Mega Medusa? That sounds even more intense.
That's their tool for actually launching the DDoS attacks. They use a botnet, basically a network of infected computers, to flood a target with traffic.
Yeah.
It can take down even the toughest websites.
So like a digital swarm just overloading the target.
Exactly. And then on top of that, they use data leaks really strategically, choosing information that's going to cause damage, ruin reputations, grab attention.
So not random chaos. This is planned, calculated.
Oh, very much so. It's all driven by their ideology. They see themselves as digital warriors fighting injustice against Palestinians and Muslims. Digital resistance, they call it.
Wow, that's interesting. So it's not just about causing havoc. They're trying to make a statement.
Exactly. They go after anyone they see as supporting Israel or oppressing Muslims, governments, businesses, you name it.
It's a pretty complex geopolitical situation they're tapping into, isn't it? There's a lot of, you know, history there.
There is. And that's why their message, it resonates with some people. They present themselves as defenders of the oppressed. And that narrative can be powerful.
Okay. So we've talked about the ideology, the tools. Who are they targeting specifically?
So it's a wide range reflecting their broader goals. We've seen attacks on government institutions, public services, international organizations, and businesses. And these businesses run the gamut, research, education, healthcare, you name it. In terms of location, they've hit Israel, India, United States, the UK, Thailand, France, and Australia.
Wow. So all over the place.
Yeah.
But you said they focus on France.
They do seem to have a preference for France. It could be specific motivations or maybe they see a strategic advantage there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we've got the who and the why. But how does a decentralized group like this actually get people on board?
Well, the research paper outlines 5 key vectors of influence. It's quite fascinating, actually. Yeah, it starts with ideology. That shared belief in defending the rights of Palestinians and Muslims. It's really the foundation.
So finding people who already agree with them.
Yeah, exactly. But they go further than that. They really emphasize these perceived injustices.
Treating that us versus them dynamic.
Exactly, that kind of mentality. They position themselves as the champions for the underdog, you know, fighting against powerful forces.
That's a classic tactic. It can be incredibly effective, especially online.
Yeah, for sure. Online, it's so easy to create those echo chambers where those beliefs just get amplified.
Oh, yeah, totally. People just get sucked in.
Right. And that's where the propaganda comes in. They use platforms like Telegram to spread their message, recruit members, and coordinate attacks.
And these platforms, they're designed for that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Going viral and all that.
They know how to use it to their advantage, exploiting the algorithms, amplifying their message.
Yeah, I mean, we've all fallen for some kind of misinformation online, right? It's scary how easy it is.
Oh, it really is. And then they also leverage this whole idea of the hacker, right?
The mystique.
Yeah, exactly. They make participation seem attractive, especially for people with tech skills, right? Those who want to use their abilities for a cause.
Like a digital Robin Hood kind of thing, yeah. Fighting injustice.
Exactly. It's not just ideology. They're tapping into that desire to make a difference.
To feel like they're part of something bigger.
Yeah. And then you have the whole romanticized image of the hacker, the lone wolf, fighting the system.
And that's appealing, especially to younger recruits.
Exactly. It's a powerful image. So yeah, they've got a pretty effective recruitment strategy.
And what I found really, almost disturbing is how they use emotional intelligence. You don't normally think of hackers like that.
That's exactly what makes them so dangerous. They're not just tech savvy. They understand human psychology. They know how to manipulate people.
How to press those buttons, you know.
Push those buttons, exactly.
So how do they actually weaponize emotional intelligence?
One way is by using something called cognitive dissonance.
Right.
Basically, they point out contradictions in their targets' actions or beliefs.
So making people doubt themselves, making them question things.
Exactly. And then when people are unsure, they swoop in with their own narrative, their own version of events.
Clever. So it's like creating doubt and then filling that void with their own propaganda.
Yeah. Very sneaky. They also like to create a sense of urgency.
Like we need to act now. Kind of thing.
Exactly. It's a crisis, now or never. They want to bypass rational thought and get people to act impulsively.
It's like that old saying about shouting fire in a crowded theater.
Perfect analogy. And then they layer in what we call social proof, right?
So like showing off their wins.
Yeah, boasting about their successes, the impact they're having. It creates the impression that everyone's joining their movement, that they're on the winning side.
So it's not about logic anymore. It's about appealing to those basic instincts,
yeah.
To the desire to fit in.
Exactly. And they're really good at playing on those emotions, anger, fear, indignation, you know.
The strong emotions.
They really cloud our judgment. Then we act without thinking.
It's almost like they've studied persuasion tactics or something.
They probably have. They don't shy away from simplifying complex issues, polarizing everything into black and white. It's so much easier to recruit when everything is good versus evil.
Right. No nuance. Just simple, easy to understand messages.
Yeah, classic propaganda. Confirm those existing biases, stir up emotions.
Powerful stuff.
And they weave in storytelling too, sharing anecdotes, making people connect with the cause on a personal level.
So you feel like you're fighting for something just and noble.
Yeah, it's really sophisticated, combining technical skill with this deep understanding of how people work.
And that's what makes them dangerous. But, you know, the big question is what happens next? How do they evolve?
The research paper actually outlines two possible scenarios. And to be honest, neither one is particularly good news.
Okay, lay it on me. What could happen?
So the most likely scenario is that they just keep doing what they're doing.
Focusing on France and Europe.
Yeah, sticking with the tried and true, you know, DDoS attacks, data leaks, and all that psychological stuff we talked about.
So more of the same, just maybe bigger.
Right. More disruptions, more attention grabbing, you know, pushing that agenda. But then there's the second scenario. And that one's a lot more worrying.
This is the critical infrastructure one.
That's the one. We're talking about attacks on energy grids, telecommunications, transportation. I mean, can you imagine the chaos?
It'd be a nightmare. And they're already collaborating with other hacktivist groups.
Exactly. And some of those have ties to, you know, nation states.
Which was a pretty chilling detail in
yeah.
that report.
It's a game changer, really. It gives them access to resources, expertise. It boosts their capabilities dramatically. It's a whole different level of threat.
Yeah, it sounds like something out of a movie, but this is real life with real consequences.
It is.
So what do we do about it? How do you stop a group like this? They're driven by ideology, and they're masters of manipulation.
It's the million-dollar question, isn't it? There's no easy answer, that's for sure. We're going to need a multi-pronged approach.
Okay, give me a prong. Where do we even start?
Education. That's absolutely vital. People need to understand these tactics, how to spot propaganda and misinformation online, you know?
So basically giving people the tools to think critically.
Exactly. You got to build that digital literacy. But we also can't forget about the technical side of things.
Right, so we're not just powerless against this.
No, not at all. Cybersecurity tech is always improving. We've got better tools to detect and stop those DDoS attacks, make our infrastructure stronger.
But they're always finding new ways to attack, right? It's like an arms race.
Exactly, it is. But we can't just focus on the technology, you know? We have to address the underlying issues, the stuff that fuels groups like RipperSec, those political and social grievances, that sense of injustice.
So it's not just a cybersecurity problem. It's bigger than that.
It is. It's societal. It needs a global response, international cooperation, sharing intel, coordinating strategies. We all need to work together.
Feels like a pretty big task, though. I mean, where do we even begin?
It's a huge challenge, but we can't ignore it. It's too important. We got to start these conversations, raise awareness, demand action from our leaders.
So be prepared, basically.
Be prepared individually and collectively.
Okay, so bottom line for our listeners, what should they take away from this? What's the key thing to remember about RipperSec?
I think it's that the lines are blurring, you know? The digital and the real world are merging. Cyber threats are no longer just about stealing data or crashing websites. It's about manipulating people, changing opinions, disrupting societies. And groups like RipperSec, they're leading the charge.
It's kind of unsettling when you think about it.
It is.
So we need to be aware, think critically, be vigilant.
Absolutely. We can't be passive anymore. We got to understand these forces at play.
And knowledge is power, right?
Exactly. The more we understand, the better we can protect ourselves.
Great point. I think we've given our listeners a lot to think about today. RipperSec is a really interesting example of how much the threat landscape is evolving. And it just goes to show that cybersecurity isn't just about, you know, firewalls and antivirus software anymore. It's about understanding human nature.
It is.
Understanding the power of ideology and emotions in this digital world.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks for walking us through this deep dive. It was really insightful. And to our listeners, stay curious, stay informed, stay safe out there.
The cyber threat analyses you need to know about. Cyber decryption. We'll be talking about it on this channel very soon.
Orange Cyber Defense.